The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday, as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, do we think it would be cool to have even more grace in our lives? Do we think it would be cool to have even more peace in our lives? Well, howdy, neighbor. God says we can have more of both. Next, are we growing in Jesus? We only stop when we represent him ultimately, so I will ask all of us again, myself included, are we growing in Jesus? If we want to be helpful and fruitful in the kingdom of God, we need to be, and if we're not, then we need to get back to the basics. And finally, I've been waiting to teach this, legalism is an ism. It is one of the worst character traits that we can operate in as Christians. It is a kissing cousin of hypocrisy because it also involves posturing. How can we tell if we are a legalistic Larry or a legalistic Lucy? It's not too hard. How do we react when God does something different with someone else, but he doesn't do that with us? Uh-oh. Is that a little too close to home?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. It's pretty simple to do. It comes right here to me. David@, that little @ thing. I don't know. It's got a name. I know it does, but I can't remember what it is. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T answers the phone, and that's terrific. Now, here's the dealios. You can talk about any topic. Any topic really is open for conversation. Certainly, as we understand, it is because this is not professional radio. I've checked our finances. I've checked our ratings. I've checked with my wife. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. And it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So go figure that out. It's the David Spoon Experience. So I want you to buckle up, little campers, because here's what I have to say. If you have a thought or a question or a praise report or a prayer request, you are welcome to reach out and to talk to us. We want you to do that. If you have something that's going on, just something you need to share, get off, you kind of have other brothers and sisters hear about it, that's fantastic. This is not a place just to kvetch, okay? That's the Yiddish for wah. We're not going to have you call up the show and then we need to call you a wambulance, okay? We're not looking for that. What we're looking for is to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. Plus, also, by the way, we do Bible trivia. And speaking of Bible trivia, according to the book of Revelation, where is the place reserved for those whose names are not in the book of life? Boy, that's a mean question, isn't it? Where is the place reserved For those whose names are not in the Book of Life, I will help out a little bit, just so you can know, it is in Revelation chapter 20, if you're looking for an answer. According to Revelation, where's the place reserved for those whose names are not in the Book of Life? Ouch. Okay, there you go. Revelation 20, you will get the answer. I know you will. I am confident for ye all. Y'all. I never really thought much about different slang or different things until my daughter moved from, we were all in California for a while. She was in Florida. Then she went to Tennessee, right? Before I came to Texas, she sent a text and she said, in the text, y'all. I'm like, y'all, what's that? Took me a while. Now that's in all my texts. Right? You just kind of adapt. It's one of those things. All right. We covered that. Let's do the website real quick. Don't forget our website. Great place to give. Great place just to check it out. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. YouTube, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. All right, check out the website. Hopefully that'll be a blessing for you. Here we go on the very first topic. Don't forget our trivia question. What is our trivia question? According to the book of Revelation, Revelation 20, where is the place reserved for those whose names are not in the book of life? That's not the nicest opening question, is it? Not everything is, peaches and, Skittles and rainbows and carnivals. Some of our music's like a carnival, but not everything is like that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace. Stop. We read these beginnings to the scriptures. We read these epistles. We read the Pauline epistles, which is basically from Romans to Philemon, because Hebrews is unknown authorship. And then we call the general epistles, which would basically be Hebrews until Jude. And then you have the apocalyptic writing, which is Revelation. Of course, you have the Gospels. Then you have Acts, right? All right. And one of the things that happens as you read the Bible, and people do this a lot, and I'm gonna challenge you on something that maybe you're not often challenged on. And they read that and they consider the beginning and the ending just kind of like lettery stuff, and it is, but there is so much gold to be mined in the first few verses and the many last verses of every single book. It's amazing. Here's a great example. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, again, not a math guy. Had to take my basic math to get through my basic, BA degree. Didn't like it. Don't like it. Still don't like it. It's not one of my faves. Okay, got it. But I do know something about multiplication. When you are multiplying something, there is more. Okay? When you are adding something, there is more. When you are subtracting something, there is less. When you are dividing it, there appears to be less. Multiplication is one of those add-ons. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Well, how would that go about? In the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is an amazing thought. Knowing the Lord more and more generates more grace and peace for you. Your thinking might be, well, God has already granted me the fullness of grace. Absolutely. But it is only by you getting closer and closer to the Lord that you begin to access the fullness of that grace. That grace is given to you completely, but you are only drinking it with a straw. You need to do what we used to do when we'd do something called the Spoon Olympics, and I'd take a lifesaver and I'd put it in a pie, and there'd be five pies, and we had a timer, and people had to stick their face in the pie and find the lifesaver, and whoever can do it and pull it out first was the winner, right? You need to stick your face in the pie of grace. You don't need to just take a slice. You don't need to take a piece. You don't need to use a straw. Get your whole face in there. And that word, by the way, knowledge of the Lord, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, is epigenosa. Genosa is knowledge, but epigenosa is a little different. Epigenosa is a knowledge that is experienced. Did you hear that? People are like, experience? You said experience as a Christian. Yes, you are supposed to experience God. Yes, I did. And we know God, and the more we know God through prayer, through his word, through fellowship, through serving, through giving, through loving, through honoring, through doing the things he set before us, the more we experience God in those processes and in our private time, and that epigenosa experience of God generates peace and generates grace in greater levels than we know them now. So if you're thinking, man, I kind of feel like I do have peace, but I need more peace, then the answer is you need to know the Lord better. And if your position is, I know I have grace for my salvation, and I know I have grace in these major things, but I've got some of these little things, and they're driving me bonkers. Well, you need more grace for your circumstances, and the way you get that is more of God, to know him more. That's the answer. Knowing the Lord more and more, epigenosa, to know by experience, generates peace, grace, and everything else more and more. Trivia answer to the question is, according to Revelation, what's the place reserved for those whose names are not in the book of life? The answer is a lake of fire and brimstone, Revelation 20. Ouch. Yeah, that's right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the hungry.
Here we go. Let me give you an update on Easton Scott. A lot of tough stuff that my daughter and my son-in-law have been going through. I did send an email out. I don't know if, Julie, if you got the email or not. I did send it out to everybody. So he was going through 20 and 30 seizures per episode, and they've got that down to a dramatically less amount. But the sad news is that from a medical point of view, Easton does not, it does not appear, as according to the doctors, that he will be able to speak or will be able to care for himself. Oh. And so what the result of that is that Julianne and Jared, my son-in-law and my daughter, have recognized that God has put them in a position to be the best parents, to love Easton Scott with all that they can and give him the best life that they can. But while that's going on, they're not going to stop believing that something can change. And the doctors even said, this is territory we don't even know.
Right, because this is a problem that not very many people have had. So
very few.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, and they have like 230 total cases in the world that they have records on, which is like, so they're like, we don't know.
Right.
And it's like, so I just want to read this one thing my daughter wrote. It's a fantastic. She wrote this, you know, it's not easy to sit there and write a Facebook post that tells all the things you've been going through. And so I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to read the last paragraph because I thought that was really significant. She wrote, scientifically, Easton does not have much of a chance. His best case scenario is he may possibly be able to walk and say 3 to 5 words one day. But God can help him. He's not afraid of impossible odds. And if Easton is healed one day, there will be no question as to where it comes from. It will not be because of therapy, and it will not be because of medication or diet. It will be because of God's undeniable healing power. So in the meantime, we choose to raise a hallelujah and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faith. Now, the idea that it's going to be simple and everything's going to be great and they're trying to make pie in the sky, that doesn't exist at all. If you read this, and I think Wonder Julie can attest to it, she tells you this is ugly.
Right.
This is not a good situation. It's going to change our lives. He's never going to be able to be unattended. It doesn't look good. And, you know, as a parent, you're heartbroken. They have two other children. They don't want to have any loss in their communication with their kids, but they're going to have to give extra attention. They were going to have a fourth child. They're not sure they're going to do that now. So you got a lot of things in play. But what you can't deny is that I won't take credit, but I'll stand in there as a grandparent and as a parent and say, what a fantastic position of faith that my daughter has grown into. She has made the determination that she will do the best that she can as a human being to give this child the best life she can, and she will not quit hoping. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, as we get ready to do our very next trivia question. I do need to let you guys know something, just so you can be aware of it. Just started happening. My phone has captured some kind of demon. So I'm going to start.
This is the kind of stuff that you just look at the Lord and you go, really?
This is the same thing. I go through the same thing everybody else goes through. Just want you to know that. So I'm going to do a restart on that. So I'm going to wait a second before I do my my trivia question. So I got everybody's last text, and then it just went. That's always fun to happen. Okay, so get ready. I will be doing the next trivia question in just a second. In the meantime, because I'm never without words, I have a new thing I found for comedy for jokes.
Oh, dear God, no.
Some of these are quite biting. Okay, so by me saying that, I am telling you that these are quotes from people, okay? And some of these are, like, maybe encouraging. And then some of these are like, you know, kind of like in your face kind of attitude. And then some of these are like almost like rebukes. I mean, I'm just telling you what's going on. So I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to have your feelings hurt. I did not write these, but I did come across these. And every time I'm challenged in my faith, instead of getting mad at people or being upset about it, it's like, hey, I need to make sure I'm not doing some of those very things that are being communicated. And this isn't being communicated by just anybody. I mean, this is like Billy Graham and, you know, people like that. Even Mark Twain's in this and so forth. So I got a couple of statements. I just want you to get ready. Don't get mad at me, okay? And you have to love me. Okay. All right. Then we'll do the trivia. All right. Ready? Ready for the first one? All right. The number of followers you have, the number of people that follow you, doesn't make you any better than anyone else. Hitler had millions. Jesus had 12. See, now that's kind of like a, wow, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, you can't give it a ring, 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 but it's like, it makes you think. This is Billy Sunday, one of my favorite lines of all time. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a car.
That's just so good.
A real Christian is a listen to this line by Billy Graham. If you don't think this is funny, I can't help you. A real Christian is a person who can give his pet parrot to the town gossip.
Oh my gosh.
And then the last one we'll do. So good. You can give your parrot to the town. That's funny. And then the last one I'll do for today. The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because they're generally the same people. Those are pretty good, right? Very bitey. Very interesting. All right, here we go for our next trivia question. How did God deal with the Israelites who were complaining about their misfortunes in the wilderness? How did God deal with the Israelites who were complaining about their misfortunes in the wilderness? Your answer is going to be found in Numbers chapter 11. So the children of Israel were out there and they just started whining and complaining. How did God deal with the Israelites who were complaining about their misfortunes in the wilderness? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770 or you can text in 214-210-8483. Covered everything? I think we're pretty good. We're on target, right? Yeah? All right, here we go. Okay. So you guys can answer this. That's a really good one, if you can answer that one. And if my phone will work. Yeah, just do your best. We're not going to stop one way or another. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Listen to this. This is an important portion that we need to be aware of. Now, for this very reason, also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. That's just a lot of things, right? Let's go over that again. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. You can compare this list in 2 Peter 1, 5, 6, and 7 to the fruits of the Spirit. You'd be doing yourself a favor. That would work out pretty good. Verse 8 says this, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." Wow. Okay, the text that's coming from Peter. So Peter doesn't do the same level of theology as we can tell from Paul, but there are times when Peter writes and you're just like going, wow, that is just straight to the point. And here's what he's saying. We got all these characteristics as Christians. Okay. You got an attitude of self-control, right? You have in self-control, you have a perseverance, which is a patience. You have a godliness, a brotherly kindness, a love. These are all, of course, fruits of the Spirit. And these things in our life should be active in our life. And Peter is saying they have to be active and increasing. In other words, you don't reach this point where you go, well, that's enough brotherly love in my life. I don't really need any more. Unless you are exactly representing Jesus in exactly the same thought level, in the same feeling level, in the same acting level, in the same functioning level, in the same work level, unless you are doing that exactly, you still have more to go because Jesus is the goal. And so we should always be increasing and always be pushing forward. But what's amazing in this text is that Peter says, if you're not doing that, if you're not growing, he says this. People have forgotten their purification from their former sins. In other words, you're forgetting that Jesus set you free. It's not that you can't do these things, and it's not that you can't grow in them. It's that there's a disconnect from the new life that Jesus gave you. Get that? I mean, that's so important, right? Now, is God going to wipe you out because you do it wrong? No, he's telling you, look, you're not getting all these things in the right way. So let's get back to the basics. What's the basic? He died on that cross for your sin. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. He appeared to many. He ascended. He's coming back soon. Get to Jesus living. Okay. Let's start her again. See that kind of attitude? Let's rev it up again. Sometimes you got to go back to the simple to rekindle the deep passions and the pursuits and the increase. If you find yourself that you're not increasing, don't beat yourself up. Walk towards the Lord and say, I need a reset. I need a button. I need something that keeps me in the right place and gets me going the right way. I need to remember where I came from. That's what the Lord's telling us. Instead of being mad at us, he's telling us what to do about it. Okay? All right, do we have somebody who's going to answer a trivia question? Okay, here I go. I'm leaning. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's it's me.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
So great.
How you doing? How you feeling today? You feeling any better?
Oh, I'm tired today, but I'm doing okay. I don't know why I'm tired. Anyway, yeah.
All right. Yeah, you ready for this trivia? Are you ready to answer?
I'm ready.
All right. How did God deal with the Israelites who were complaining about their misfortunes in the wilderness?
Okay. The Lord was angry, and he sent down fire that consumed.
That is correct. Mary, Mary, that is right. The fire devoured them. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. They just kept whining and whining and whining. And at some point, God goes, hey, you going to complain? I'll give you something to complain about. And then they got it together a little bit after that. But that is 100% correct. Excellent job, Mary.
Oh, well, there were snakes, too.
There was another one. There were several different ones, but you hit it on the head. That's where it started in Numbers 11, 1 through 3, where God said, okay, all right. Now I'm getting upset. Now I'm getting mad. Good job, Mary.
Well, thank you. And I liked your little sayings that you shared with us, okay?
I love it. I appreciate it so much.
All right.
Okay.
I do too. Okay. I appreciate it too.
All right. God bless you.
Oh. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep praying for me, okay?
You got it. And the whole audience will too.
My problems all straightened out, okay?
Okay. You got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. She's a sweetheart. All right, so let's go back to this just kind of a rehash real fast because then we got to exit out of this. So what I want you to get is when you read Scripture, this is such an important point, I think, a principle within the Scripture. This is what holds people back. When you read Scripture and you read it and it's like you're like going, I'm guilty. That's okay. Okay, just like Nehemiah 8, that's okay. Okay, you don't have to sit there and weep. That's the time you go, praise the Lord, because he's going to help me do better in these things, not I'm just here to make you feel lousy. Don't let the enemy take advantage of your mindset. Turn your face and your heart towards the Lord, and he'll help you get to these places he wants you to be. That simple. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Bibles are very cool looking. You can have them electronically. You can have them in your phone. You have them in your computer. There's tons of apps. There's also cool looking book Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's great. Here's the bottom line. All that's fancy and fantastic and useless if you don't read it and believe it and process it. For those that are trying to figure out, first of all, well, why is it that the Bible is its own unique entity? What's the deal in that? Well, the same breath that went into creating Adam, which was creating creation of man, that same breath went into the Bible. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's the breath of God. And the breath of God that went into Adam is the breath of God that goes into the book, which is why this is a unique book. And then people get really upset, and they go, well, hold on now. Hold on now, Dave. The problem there is, you know, that there's just so many people that have been a part of writing the Bible. In fact, there's about 40 authors spanning about 3,000 years in all different types of positions in life. But here's the great thing about Christian faith.
If you believe that God created the universe, you're going to step out on that big ledge and go, well, if he created the universe, he can probably write a book. Well, the amazing part about the book itself is not just the self-proclamations of the book, but you get into the prophecies, and it's an amazing, amazing element that every single prophecy has been fulfilled exactly, and yet there are some to come, and we will see those fulfilled. But while you're engaging in the Word of God, here's something you need to be aware of that Christians do not recognize. That word where it says, for the Word of God is alive, is zone in the Greek. If we were doing a Greek word, that'd be zone. And that word means alive, to live. Jesus used that word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where he says, behold, I am alive, and I live forevermore. Same word. And the Word of God is alive. And you think, well, this is just a book. It is just a book, except for when you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit connects you to the Word of God, it becomes something altogether different.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I have a really good trivia question. And by the way, my phone seems to be working again. So that restart, it's amazing what a restart does, isn't it? I mean, you have a problem, you go, start again. Do it all again. And I think there's a lot of Christians that need a restart, though, right? Like, restart. Push the reset button. Here you go. This is a good one. Where, so we're looking for some geography, but I'll make it a little easier. Where, in answer to Elijah's prayer, where, what mountain, did fire from the Lord consume both the sacrifice and the altar? What mountain was it where Elijah prayed and fire from the Lord consumed both the sacrifice and the altar? Wow. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you want to look it up. That's a really good question. The number here, 972-445-0770 is the call-in number. And then our text is 214-210-8483. We're going to do our history because we like doing history. History's fun, but we don't want you to get caught up in anything. It's just a little bit of fun to poke at it and have fun and enjoy looking backwards and forwards and stuff like that. Let's fire away.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, so here you go. Here are some very cool history things. Ready? Okay. I'm going to save one for the last because it's my favorite. Okay. First of all, it's Smile Power Day. Okay. And I'm going to buy into this in a little bit. Let me say why. Okay. If you've ever had a situation and somebody looks like they're really like going to blow an eye gasket right there while they're talking to you, if you smile, it's amazing how much it diffuses things. It's just like, you know, soft answer turneth away wrath. And when people are like, and you go, hi there. It's just like something about it. It's especially on the road. If somebody's really mad at you and smile, like, I'm sorry, kind of attitude, and just smile, they're like, oh, okay, it's all right. So I like that. It's National Nature Photography Day, which are photographs of nature, which I have like on every computer, every tablet, everything I have everywhere. I have like nature photos. Like when, you know, when it goes into the saver time, they're all like pictures of glaciers or seas or oceans or stuff like that. Or space. I just like stuff like that. This one I'm going to let slip right through. It's National Prune Day. See?
T is making a face. Stop making that face. National Prune Day, like, okay.
It's National Kiss a Wookiee Day. I think that's different. If you're a Star Wars fan, that I guess would make sense. Here's my favorite. Ready?
I'm such a big fan of this.
It's National Lobster Day. Lobster. That's good. I like lobster.
Yummy.
I mean, yummy. I mean, come on. Come on. My wife, she will not eat. It's so funny. She's just so hilarious. She won't eat seafood, except for lobster. Now, it would have been helped me a lot if she would have said, yeah, I'll just have like shrimp or clams or something like that. It's like, nope, we have to seafood. She's only eating one thing, been this way our whole lives. Only one thing, lobster. And she has a very particular taste. She likes a very, I'm going to stop talking right now. Let's see. In 1934, on this day, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park was founded. And then also in 1775, on this day, George Washington is appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. That was a good appointment, I would have to say. All right, so our trivia question, what mountain was Elijah when he prayed, did fire from the Lord consume both the sacrifice and the altar? And then your answer is going to be in 1 Kings 18 if you want to know what mountain it was. Here we go. This is one of my I love these kind of teachings. They're short, but they're important, and they will help you. They help me. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me at the same time so we can get a handle on this. John chapter 5. We covered everything, right? John chapter 5, verse 8 through 12. Get up, Jesus told him. Pick up your bedroll and walk. Instantly, the man got well, picked up his bedroll, and started to walk. Now, that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, this is the Sabbath. It's illegal for you to pick up your bedroll. He replied, the man who made me well told me, pick up your bedroll and walk. Well, who is this man who told you, pick up your bedroll and walk, they asked. So, okay. Take a deep breath, Dave. You ever heard of a legalistic Larry or a legalistic Lucy? Legalistic Larry and legalistic Lucy. Don't get mad if your name's Larry or Lucy. They're just chosen because they have L's in them. They react to when God does something different for somebody else than he does for them. It's not that God won't do it for them. It just hasn't happened yet or hasn't happened in a long time, and they get kind of harumphy about it. Here, this guy is unable, just follow the logic, he's unable, right, to walk, right? Guy can't walk. Jesus says, walk. The guy walks, and the people who are not happy about it are like, hey, this is the Sabbath, and we won't do and don't do things like that because it's very ungodly. And then they were like, who told you to do such a thing? And the guy's like, this Jesus guy right here, he said, pick up your bedroll and walk. And what's amazing is nobody is going, hey, it's a miracle. Hey, this guy who can't walk, now he can walk. Wow. Nobody's excited about the power of God manifesting. They're upset that the rules have been broken. And they don't like it because it hasn't happened to them. And they're not comfortable. And when Christians are not comfortable, just listen to what I'm going to say, they become legalistic. Because they can't define any. Instead of just going, praise God, wow. I remember what a very, very profound minister said. He said, I'm in this particular denomination. I love these people. I love what God's doing in this work. But if God leaves these people because they are bad-hearted or they break with him, and he goes to another group of people, he said, I'm going to go follow God. It's like, that is the right attitude. Not, I'm here to support my group. I'm here to follow the Lord. So we don't want to be a legalistic Larry or a legalistic Lucy. We want to be the person that says more. More of you all the time. Get that? All right. Got somebody who's calling in to answer the trivia question? I'm going to lean over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. You sound good today.
Well, I'm down at the physician's office trying to correct a couple of errors in my body. So hopefully the Lord give him wisdom to do that.
So it's a nice environment, but not for necessarily a nice reason.
Amen. Yeah, I apologize yesterday. I had my mic pointed the wrong way. I know you couldn't hardly hear me. I apologize for that.
Nah, that's okay. That happens. That's part of life. I don't think that decreases as we get older, as far as I can tell. At least it's not happening that way for me. All right, my good brother. What, in answer to Elijah's prayer, where did the fire from the Lord consume both the sacrifice and the altar? What mountain was that?
That was that great Mount Carmel.
That is correctamundo, sir. You are right.
Did he consume all the prophets too, the false prophets of Baal?
Yeah, it consumed their offering and the other offering. I can't remember if it actually consumed the prophets or the people. I think so. You know, I'm kind of like going fuzzy, but that is only because I read, 45 pages before I walked in the studio. Oh, so my brain's a little leaked.
Were taken out. I couldn't know if it was by fire, though. That's good. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I said I think the prophets were killed, 450 prophets of Baal. And, if I remember right, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, certainly. But,
yeah, and one of my favorite things about that was the length of time that the prophets of Jezebel were like, because they were doing all morning, all afternoon. Yeah. And it wasn't even as though Elijah finished the prayer. Oh, Lord, can you do this? And it was done. And it was just like, you don't have to sing and dance for God to answer you. You just got to be connected to him. That's what you got to be.
That's a good point.
Yep.
Good point.
Excellent job, my bro. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you and T. So y'all hang in there.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, brother. Bye. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. All right, I want to finish up with Brother Ace. Always be praying for Brother Ace, just health, getting things going, getting things put together. You should be praying for everybody in the audience kind of on a regular basis because the Lord, it's a classic thing. Let me say this real quickly. Do you know who your neighbor is? Whoever God brings into your world. But you know what's so funny about listening to the show? All the people that you hear, God brought those people into your world. There you go. That's who you should be praying for. That's who your neighbor is. That's who you're supposed to love. All right, don't be a legalistic Larry or a legalistic Lucy. If God does something great and somebody's blessed for it and draws closer to and acknowledges Jesus, just because it's not your way doesn't mean it's the wrong way, as long as they're doing it with Jesus, okay, and the Word of God, okay, and the Holy Spirit and the Father. Okay. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
As I am, you reach down and see me.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Just want to make sure I get some clarification for people, so I don't want anybody to get too mad at me. So we were talking about Elijah, and Ace was asking about what happened when the fire fell. So I went to check it out. It's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God.' Then Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape.' And then they seized them, and he brought them down to the brook Kishon, and there they were executed." The reason I want to bring that up is because I had forgotten, you know, I was trying to think what Ace was saying, and I was like, did that fire get the prophets too? And the answer is no, it didn't get the prophets too. They took the prophets out after that. Okay? All right. Just making sure we got that clarification. You know, sometimes my brain goes, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever done that before. Yeah, I have. About 50,000 times. Let's do the last trivia question. Should not be that difficult because I'm going to give you the address. What did the angel touch the trembling Isaiah's tongue with? Okay. What did the seraph angel touch the trembling Isaiah's tongue with? The answer for that is in Isaiah 6. So you can call in and answer that if you are not sure. You can look it up and then call in, or you can text it in. So if you call in, 972-445-0770. So what did the angel touch on Isaiah's tongue? What did he touch it with? And then you can also text in 214-210-8483. All right, so we have one more segment we're going to do. We're going to do a Pastor Ray thing, which I think is pretty cool. But in the meantime, we do have a Hebrew. Was it a Hebrew? No, it's a Greek word, isn't it? We have a Greek word. That tells you how fast I am. So let's do our Greek music. Okie dokie artichokes. All right. One thing I will tell everybody, if you're texting me today, I might not be able to get back to you on my text because I'm just having a little bit of phone problems. So. Just let you know. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink." The word that we're looking at is worry. It's merim nao. Merim nao. Ready? Merim nao. Merim nao. Like nao, nao. Merim nao. Merim nao. Merim nao. And that means, it comes from merozo, it means to divide into parts. The word suggests a distraction, a preoccupation with things causing anxiety, stress, or pressure. So Jesus said, don't worry about your life. And here you get to understand that worry has to do with a division. It's a division in your mind, a preoccupation in your mind that causes anxiety and stress and pressure. And Jesus speaks against worry and anxiety because of the watchful care of our Heavenly Father. So that's very important. So Miriam Na'o means to divide into parts. And so Jesus is like, don't have your mind or your heart divided into parts, because that will cause problems for you. That's what it's talking about. It says, don't worry. Okay. That's fun. All right. Last on the trivia question, then we'll, if nobody calls in, we'll just answer it at the end. What did the seraph touch the trembling Isaiah's tongue with? That should be found in Isaiah chapter 6. Okay, there you go. If you know the answer, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. Okay, I could say there's a hint like barbecue, but I'm not going to. All right, here is something from Pastor Ray I wanted to read to you. See if there's some blessings we can get from his insights, because his insights are fantastic. Here it is. It's called, Are You Feeling the Pressure? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. The Greek word used for tribulation here is literally translated as pressure. Do you hear that? Tribulation is actually translated pressure. It's the Greek translation. It's the sensation you would experience if somebody pressed down on your head and tried to push you into the ground. You'd feel the strain in your neck and on your shoulders, and the tension would permeate your whole body. Get that? All right. Making sure you know. Does that sound familiar? The Apostle Paul understood trouble. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience, he wrote. We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Paul's fellow believers were dealing with even more than the daily grind of life. We all have hard days, pressures at work and at home, disappointments and discouragements. Paul recognized life and death situations, and he understood losing loved ones, painful relationships, and setbacks at work. He knew about pressure. He knew what it meant to despair even of life. When the apostle spoke of comfort, it wasn't in nice religious platitudes. The word he used for comfort comes from the Latin word fortis, meaning strength. His brothers and sisters needed their faith to survive the pressure they faced. Sometimes, under tremendous pressure, we forget that God is there. We stop worshiping and praising him and fail to realize that trials are a part of this life and are for one of three reasons. One, we are human beings living in a fallen world. Two, trials afflict our lives when we're disobedient, so there are consequences to deliberately going against the will of God. And three, God permits trials. And this is the one that people hate. God allows these things? Yes, and Paul explains why. In our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, in whom we've set our hope. When the pressure comes bearing down and you cannot cope, God longs for us to turn to him, but only to him. And when we recognize our weakness, we will set our hope on him and on him alone. This is a quote from Oswald Chambers. When you are in the dark, listen, and God will give you a very precious message for someone else when you get into the light. Fascinating. So here's the bottom line to that. Okay, we have somebody called. There's somebody waiting. Okay, let me get to finish this and then I'll bring them on. Pressure happens and it's a drag and it feels like somebody's squishing your head in the ground. But there is a strength in the Lord. And one of the ways we access that strength is by not trying to solve everything ourselves, but by fully trusting in God and saying, you have to do this because I can't. And that opens the opportunity of faith and opens the opportunity of deliverance. And that's when God shows up, when we stop trying to be God and let him do what he does. It's just brilliant in and of itself. All right, we do have somebody who's called in to answer the trivia question, so here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Dan.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good.
Good. I saw that you called on the other line, so I'm glad you switched it over.
I got the wrong one.
Yeah, it happens a lot. All right, my good friend. Here you go. What did the seraph touch the trembling Isaiah's tongue with?
It was a live coal.
That is correct, sir! It was a live coal, a hot coal, and he touched his tongue with it, and it's that's a great testimony. There's a couple reasons that's a great testimony. Yes, it's probably for purity because he was going to be a spokesman for God, but it's also for the iniquities that come out of our mouths, and it's like, yeah, there's a lot of truth in that, right? Yeah.
Don't try that for the next barbecue.
Excellent, John. It's great to hear your voice, by the way. I've missed hearing you, so I'm very glad you called in.
Yes, thank you very much.
Have a joyous day. Yeah. God bless you, my brother.
Bless you.
Okay, thank you. Right. Bye-bye. Awesome. All right. I love our audience. Our people are cool. All right, so that whole thing about the pressure and everything else, I just want you to get this. I don't want you to get weird on me. As though that's ever going to happen. Look, sometimes we go through things and we have a unique way of, you know, processing our difficulties, whatever. And there's just times where you just, I just have a very strong conviction that Scripture supports us all on, that you just turn to God and you say, you're going to have to do this because I can't. And I just think that surrender is a place to find peace and grace and mercy and kindness and just all of it. And I know the circumstances, sometimes they're just so crazy, aren't they? Isn't the circumstances in our lives are nutty cuckoo stuff? But on the flip side, isn't it just amazing how God weaves his grace and his love and his mercy through all these things? He is amazing, right? I mean, the more you get into God, the more you just get into the kingdom. The more you get it, it's just fantastic. So if you're a person who's got a big, big struggle, or even there's just a lot of little struggles, remember, little foxes spoil the vine. So sometimes it's, you know, a bunch of little things. You can just turn it to the Lord and say, you're the God of comfort. You're my God of strength. There's too much pressure on me. I'm going to walk away from this and just leave this at your cross. Let me know. Here I am to do my best to serve and love you. Got it? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.